In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today in the church, we commemorate the Holy Fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. This is one of two Sundays throughout the year that we remember our Holy Fathers. The other one is in July, when we remember the Holy Fathers of the first six. Today in October, always on this Sunday, we remember the Holy Fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. And that council was the one that expressed, in the understanding of the church, the propriety of using icons in our worship. All of the councils that we recognize, all seven of them, no matter what the details, had for their purpose to affirm what had always been accepted, received, taught, and preached about the nature of Jesus Christ, namely that He is one in essence with God the Father. Couldn't always be expressed in the language of the time, and the councils found ways to express that through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is one with God the Father. They are of the same essence. And the Holy Spirit as well, of the same essence with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. This doctrine of the Holy Trinity and the nature of Jesus was so important to the early church. And this is why we remember the Holy Fathers. Because otherwise, we compromise any aspect of our Lord, either His full humanity or His full divinity, then we don't have hope for salvation. Because it's our belief that God really entered into our lives and became one of us and took on everything that we are and that we experience for us and for our salvation. And He did that in the person of Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ. So if this isn't really God doing this, we have no hope for salvation. Also, if Jesus were just divine, if His humanity were not like ours, as the Holy Fathers say, what has not been assumed is not healed. Our humanity could not be restored and be lifted up to the level that God wants us to be. So we don't compromise any aspect of that. It's very important for the Holy Fathers of the first seven councils. Very important then and very important today. Our faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, is a revealed faith. It's something that's been shown to us. If you ever come to Matins on Sunday or any day, we have daily Matins too. God is the Lord and has revealed Himself to us, has shown light to us. We sing that hymn at every Matins. God has shown Himself to us. Sometimes we wonder, what's the role of the Holy Fathers? Why do we have to recognize them? What's so important about them? They, through their prayers and through their teachings of the Word, have brought us what we have today. Our faith is not something that we have to figure out or get right or really intellectually process and get to a point where we understand it. It's good to understand your faith. A lot of times we ask questions. We may not understand everything, but we could go through this whole lifetime. We could go through probably 100 lifetimes, if that were possible, and still not understand every aspect of the truth of what God wants us to know. So what we have to do is not waste time, not rely on our own human understanding, and not be swayed by doctrines and teachings which are contrary to what we have received in the church, what's been handed down through the teachings of the Holy Fathers. In our understanding of the faith, we have the Scriptures, of course. This is the way God reveals Himself in writing. He appeared to our forefathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants. He appeared, had real contact with human beings. That was written down in Scripture. We have holy writings that express God's will to us. There were prophets who spoke the Word of God and expressed it with their mouth. Those were later written down and also became scripture. And finally, we have the perfect expression of God's Word and His will, Jesus Christ our Lord. Those narratives also written down and became, as we call it, the fourth scripture, the New Testament. So we have this whole body of witnesses to the faith. What we have to do then is have hearts that are willing to receive it. Hearts that are willing to hear the Word of God and allow it to grow and nurture and bear fruit with patience, as Jesus says in today's gospel. The gospel today is for the fourth Sunday of Luke. The epistle that we heard is for the Holy Fathers. Just take a look here at the epistle to Titus. It begins, "This is a faithful saying." And as we've said before, you might be wondering, what's that saying? Because it starts at verse 8, and Paul is referring to something he had already said earlier. The very important thing is just a few verses earlier, starting with verse 3. And he says it very clearly, the essence of the gospel. "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared," he's talking about Jesus, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This is the whole gospel teachings, brothers and sisters in Christ, verses 3 through 7 of chapter 3 of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus. He's telling his apostle, or his disciple, you know, Paul was an apostle and an apostle, and he had a disciple, Titus. He's teaching him the importance of this gospel message and how to take it out into the world and to avoid the things that are going to draw us away and distract us from the heart of that message. Disputes, genealogies, contentions, arguments. He says, "Reject a divisive man," after the first and second admonition. How do you know if someone's divisive? How do you know if someone's divisive? Maybe they have a different way of interpreting what the truth is. And that was true then, and it's true now. Sometimes we wonder, well, that's not how I see it. When it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the truth that's been revealed to us, we don't have our own ways of seeing it. We only have what we've been given. And it's been handed down. It's been taught to us. We receive it or we reject it. We don't modify it. We don't pick and choose. And the study note here in the study Bible says that a divisive person is someone who picks or chooses from the whole truth. You know, I believe in God. I just don't know about, you know, that church and that priest and that bishop, what he teaches, or what they say about, fill in the blank, you know. I believe in God. I read the Bible. I know Jesus came to save me, but I don't like what the church says about X. Any number of things. You can't pick and choose without breaking up the integrity of the whole. So we have the Holy Fathers and the Word that they taught from the beginning and preserved and maintain here in the church in the truth of the gospel as we worship, as we read and teach and preach. So the gospel is always taught, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's always taught. Another way that we have of receiving this, other than the letters, of course, is the gospel that we hear in church. Today, we heard, as we said, from it's the fourth Sunday of Luke. We're reading from the fourth Sunday of our lectionary from Luke chapter 8. And this is perhaps the quintessential parable in the Gospel of Luke about our salvation and about the Word of God, the parable of the sower. It's a parable that Jesus tells, and then he explains This is one of the great things about it. He explains it to his disciples. He tells them what everything in it means. The seed that he talks about is the Word of God. And then various responses to that Word of God. So we might hear this today and think, where do we stand? There are those who hear, but then the Word of God gets taken away from them before the Word has any chance to take root. There are those who are like rock that have no moisture, that the Word also can't plant itself because we're hard. There are those who are like thorns, who let the cares and the worries of the world choke them or choke the Word so that they depart from it. It says the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So then finally, there are those who hear it with a good and noble heart, who keep it and who bear fruit with patience. That's the last one. That's, of course, where we want to be. Parables in the Gospels are meant to teach. They were there from the beginning in the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus was following a very well-known tradition of teaching by using parables. And one of the reasons we read from Luke so frequently in the church kind of underscores this point, that our faith is revealed and it's taught to us, is because of the abundance of parables. Do you know that we have a reading cycle from Matthew that goes from the Sunday after All Saints, so two Sundays after Pentecost, whenever that happens to fall throughout the year, we begin the reading cycle of Matthew. And we go from that point all the way until around the Feast of the Conception of John the Baptist. And then we make what they say in liturgical talk, the Lucan jump. We go into Luke. So other than Great Lent, or the readings that fall around the various major feasts of the church, we're always on Sunday reading from Matthew or Luke. And the answer to that, of to why that is because of the abundance of the extra material, the parables, the teaching material that these two books have. Matthew has exclusive teaching material and parables, and Luke especially. So right now we're in the Lucan cycle, and this parable is here to show us how our hearts need to be. So it's a revealed faith, although some people might doubt. We hear talk all the time of people that say, well, why doesn't God just show himself? You know, we believe he already did and does. He did in Jesus Christ, and he continues to do so in the church and the sacraments that we receive. Why doesn't he just come out and tell us who he is so that we might believe? Well, number one, we would never presume upon the wisdom of God. You know, if God doesn't choose to do this, he has his reasons. And then also, God wants to know, just as Jesus says, what our hearts are like. He wants to test our hearts. He wants to put us through it to see how much we're willing to give. Jesus says that he's teaching in parables so that those who see may not see, or as it says here, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Just because a person has ears and the capacity to hear doesn't mean they're going to understand and receive the Word of God. Just because a person has eyes and sight doesn't mean they're going to see what God is showing them in His Word. It takes a heart, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is receptive, that is not hard, that is not tempted away by the cares and pleasures and worries of life. It takes a heart that is willing to receive and nurture and not expect instant gratification either. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. With patience means until the end. Until the very end. And right after this, This is Luke chapter 8, right beginning at verse 16. Jesus tells a couple of parables about the end, about the judgment. So it's clear to us that we have to stick it out until the end. So this is the faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what we've received. This is what hopefully we are pleased to receive and will accept it and hold it, as Jesus says, in our hearts, and keep it and bear fruit with patience. Part of that bearing fruit, the part that we talk about often is probably most important, is the way we respond to other people, of course. We said that the Seventh Ecumenical Council officially taught that icons are appropriate to have in the church. We have them today. It was controversial then. You know, are we casting images? Are we setting up images? Are we worshiping something other than the true God? Of course, the church says no. And it's very important what we understand about that doctrine, because it's not just about art. It's not just about how we decorate the church. Remember, we said that all of these councils were concerned about who Jesus Christ is, his very nature. If he is who we believe he is, and God really became one of us, then it's appropriate to depict him and his saints in images and use them in our worship, not worshiping the paint and the wood, but the person whom they express. And icons are not just what we adorn the church with. We also believe, taking that thought just a little bit more seriously, that we are icons. If Jesus Christ, being fully God, became human, then he became one of us. He became just like me. So all of us are icons of God. We might want to think about that, because this is where we're kind of put to the test with how seriously we take our faith and how good our hearts are. We put icons up in our home. We kiss them. We use them in our worship, perhaps. We would never think of throwing one in the garbage, right? We'd never think of defacing it or throwing it, breaking it, you know, just throwing it on the floor and leaving it there. We wouldn't think of that. It's holy. It's an icon. It's blessed. What about the icons that are right in front of you? What about the image of God in this person, in that person? Sometimes we wouldn't deface an icon on the wall, but we sometimes tear other people down. We tear down living icons of God. We should remember that we are all icons of God in the flesh. And we believe that Jesus became man, so that image of God is in each one of us. Even if, and I'm not talking about other people, I'll talk about myself, if it's distorted to the point where it's unrecognizable, it's there. And God sees it, and God sees the value in that. And it's worth redeeming. So no matter how we feel about another person, we never want to tear them down or treat them as any less than the image of God that they were created to be. So the doctrines that we teach and that we receive, and that the Holy Fathers have handed down to us, are very important, not just for the way we act in our worship, but in the interaction day to day with other people. Always love one another, treat each other as better than yourselves, just as Jesus Christ made no name for himself, but lowered himself, taking on the form of a servant. That's the model that we have as Christians. That's what we're to imitate if we accept this faith. So today we thank God for the teachings of the Holy Fathers, for giving us this truth that we need only receive. We pray that our hearts, brothers and sisters in Christ, would be fertile, that they'd be soft, that they would not resist. We may question our faith. We might ask, I don't understand this, or why is this? But ultimately, are we going to just take it and throw it away and walk away? Or are we going to say, teach me. Show me what there is. God, reveal yourself to me in the teachings of the church, in your scriptures, in the holy councils and what we teach about the faith. Let us do this, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray for the prayers and intercessions of our holy fathers, and for each one of us, that we would build one another up in a spirit of love and gentleness and treat each other as icons, as God has revealed to us that we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.